The Breakfast Show on Faith FM, and it's now time for another quiz question. Please, producer Shell.
Indeed it is, and we are on quiz question number 4. This one is a multiple choice.
Okay.
Yay! I can see Aaron's like, multiple choices. Yeah. Okay. And it's a hard one, Zoe, but you got a quarter of a chance, okay? Multiple choice, which king of Judah was captured by the Babylonians and had his eyes put out? Oh, Lindsay's going to give the answer before I even give the multiple choice.
A king? Wasn't Samson had his eyes put out? He wasn't a king.
I think you got the right guy, but there's one key letter that's wrong. Yes. Ish. Okay, so was it A, Zedekiah, B, Jehoram, C, Abijan, or D, Rehoboam? So those are your options.
Say that again.
So was it A, Zedekiah, B, Jehoram, C, Abijah, or D, Rehoboam?
The word I wrote was none of those.
Well, it was close to the right. Show it to me again.
Let's start with a J.
Oh, yeah. You had two letters that were wrong.
If you think you know if it's A, B, C, or D, the king that had his eyes gouged out, text us into the studio your best guess, 0491-064-669, because that is a ripe old question this morning.
Okay,
the others were so doable. I'm just...
Did you take a guess?
Look, I can always guess.
your favorite letter to guess.
It's my favorite letter to
okay,
guess.
Okay, I have one correct answer. I'm not going to say which, because if anybody's listened before, they know which letter Erin has gone for, so I can't say if she's right or wrong.
What were the names one more time, please?
Okay, so which king of Judah was captured by the Babylonians and had his eyes put out? Was it Zedekiah, Jehoram, Abijah, or Rehoboam? So those are your options, A, B, C, or D. 0491-064-669 is our text.
It's really not that easy, Shell.
I'm going to guess I got it wrong. just a guess.
All right. Hey, we're going to open our Word of God this morning. If you have your Bibles within reach, please join us in 1 Corinthians. And you know what? If you're driving, listen along. Please don't read your Bible. But if you're at home or in the passenger seat, we really want you to be in your Word, especially here on Faith FM Breakfast Show. You are with Lindsay and Erin. And in our Encounter with God segment this morning, we're following on from yesterday where we got up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and picking up in verse 16. Lindsay, are you there?
Chapter 7, verse 16.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to read from here through to the end of the chapter. And what this passage is really bringing home is that in whatever season of life, God can use you. Yeah?
Yeah.
So you don't have to arrive at, you know, a certain stage. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be young or old or in easy seasons or in difficult ones. But our circumstances do not determine our usefulness to God. God's invitation is the same. Belong completely to Him. Serve Him faithfully wherever you are and keep eternity in view, right? Mm. So you don't have to wait. Like, God's faithfulness and His love for you is now in this season. So we're not going to chase an ideal circumstance, but we're going to serve God faithfully in whatever stage of life we are in. All right, Lindsay, let's kick this off. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, please.
For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Should I keep reading?
Mm.
But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Not sure how they would do that. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised.
Awesome. So in verse 16, where it really says, like, you can... your husbands might be saved because of a believing wife, or a wife might be saved because of a believing husband. Our question that we're just going to discuss this morning, and we really want you to reflect on and maybe text into the conversation here in the studio, 0491-064-669. How can a faithful Christian spouse influence their partner towards salvation through how they behave? So through their own character and conduct, how can you influence a non-believing spouse? How does the way I live my life encourage someone else to believe that God is real?
Yeah, look, I think when you're behaving in a particular way, like I think there's this piece of wisdom that a lot of us have heard before, that you are the sum of the five closest people in your life, right? Your character kind of morphs into those of the people closest to you. And so if the closest person in your life, your spouse, is a believer and you're not a believer, at some point it's going to rub off, right? It's going to have enough influence in your life that it's going to start impacting your own relationship and walk with Jesus.
Yes, yes. You know, it's like the third degrees of separation, you know, the way that someone behaves, then their circle, and then it hits you. And that really does filter through. Positive influences. We become like the people we surround ourselves with. You know, the Bible, I guess, also comes from the angle of do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, which is different to this passage. Although this passage is saying if you are already yoked, don't get out of the relationship, don't divorce unless, on the basis of that they're not a Christian.
Yeah.
But
unless they're trying to claw themselves out of it.
Yeah.
Like, let them go if they really, really can't stand it and want to leave.
Infidelity, all that kind of stuff. But yes, an unbelieving spouse can still be won by someone who's sold out for God.
Yeah.
We're going to pick this up now in verse 23, please. Sure.
You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
Amen. And we were bought with a price. Elsewhere in Corinthians, it says, you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless lamb. Like, our freedom came at a tremendous price. Do not be enslaved by the things of this world. Like it's for freedom that Christ came to set us free.
Yeah.
It's certainly, when we realize the value that places in us, makes us want to live our lives, our careers, our relationships. It handles success and failures quite differently when we realize how much Christ paid for our freedom.
Yeah, definitely. Did you want me to keep reading?
There's part now that I want you to pick up in verse 29, please.
29?
Yeah.
But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. What?
So the part here, the time remains, is very short.
Mm.
Lindsay, if we genuinely believed that Jesus is coming soon, how would that change the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the things I do with my day? If I genuinely believed that we were living in the last days, you know, we were talking before about the signs of the end and earthquakes and, you know, the birthing pains of the world and volcanoes and things like that. If we genuinely believe that the time is short and that Jesus was coming soon, how would that change the way I spend my time, my money, and my energy?
Wow. Yeah. Look, if I thought that Jesus was coming back like anywhere between 2 weeks and 2 years from now, what would I do different? I guess I would be really, really doubling down on like every waking moment I would be sharing the gospel with somebody. I would be helping people. And I guess, yeah, just urging people really, really strongly to take this seriously. You don't have time to be dilly-dallying in life and putting this off till tomorrow. You don't have time to, you know, just sleep on it and then think about it the next time. Like, this is something that's urgent today. And honestly, some people, you don't know if you're going to be hit by a bus tomorrow. Like, there is that level of uncertainty in our lives that for some of us, Jesus is going to be coming back the next time we open our eyes, which will be at the resurrection, either the resurrection of the righteous or of the wicked.
Yes.
So it's something that is urgent no matter what.
Yes. And knowing that, you know, hey, I'll just live however I want to today because tomorrow I'll repent. You know, like that tomorrow may never come.
Yeah, that's right? True.
And so you want to live each day
in a right relationship with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very powerful concepts. Picking it up in verse 32, please.
32 says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife.
His interests are divided.
Yeah.
There's this kind of tension in this passage about, you know, there's positive elements of being single and then there's positive elements of being married.
Yes.
Right?
There's pros and cons each way.
There are pros and cons each way. And if you've raised a kid, you know that, you know, there's great things and hard things about two-year-olds.
Yep.
And then you think three will be better and then they become a three-nager. No. And then then you get into bullying at school, right? Oh, there's new things in every stage.
Yeah.
But certainly, what advantages do we see that singleness can bring to living a life for God, like being sold out for God? And what advantages are there to being married? Because God created both seasons of life. And if we expedite or try and, you know, skip either season.
Yeah, rush through each step.
Yeah, then we miss out on things along the way. So let's have a bit of a brainstorm this morning. What are some of the advantages to singleness and to marriage?
Yeah, well, look, this is something that I get to reflect on quite frequently because I am still single at the age of 30.
It is a good stage to be in, though.
Yes, yes, it is. And you know what? More and more recently, I've been saying, oh, God, you know, this is one of those, like, the only reason why I am grateful for being single. And then a few months later, I say that again about something else. And I'm finding more and more reasons to be grateful that I'm in the season that I'm in, as much as I have been wanting to get married for years and have children and all these things. And
absolutely,
like, just really, really do want that in my life. And I know that that is part of God's plan for my life. We've had many conversations about it, but in the meantime, I'm single. And so one of the reasons why I thank God that I'm single is when I have friends who have small children and, you know, they're struggling to get the dishes done or something like that. And they just need somebody to come in and watch the kids while they take a nap or something, you know, and get the dishes done. I'm happy to do that. I love doing dishes, actually.
So ministry.
Exactly. The ministry of doing the dishes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I will turn up and I'm just so grateful for the times where people call out and say, hey, can you come over? Or I'll just be able to offer and say, I can see you need a little bit of time. Mm. Let me come and help you out. Or another friend who will be just having, you know, a teary day and needs somebody to listen. I've got nobody calling on my time or my energy at home. Like, yeah, I have all the time available and the energy in the world to say yes. And like, recently I was traveling up to Queensland and somebody who is actually a distant relative of mine that I met at a church in Brisbane a couple of years ago has been following me on Instagram, reached out just before I traveled up and said, hey, I think I need to talk to you about faith. I just really feel like I need to. And I was like, and he was asking, hey, are you still working at the church there? And I was like, no, I actually don't live in Brisbane anymore, but you're in luck. I'm going to be there in about 2 weeks' time. We can catch up. And so I was, you know, traveling, staying on people's couches, traveling all up and down the east coast of Queensland. Wow. And in amongst that, I got to do some pastoral care for somebody who really felt like I was a safe person to talk to.
Wow, divine appointment.
Yeah. And you can't do that. You can't be like couch surfing at your friend's place if you have a husband or children in tow. Yep. It doesn't work the same way.
Yep. Yep.
So I get to travel a lot. I get to do ministry in all sorts of really interesting ways in this season of life, which I'm really enjoying.
Yes, definitely that no strings attached comes with rich blessings. And, you know, you're able to drop everything and go at the
drop of a hat. Yeah. And this has happened so many times.
Absolutely, without having to pack the whole house and the kitchen sink as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can have go out to evening Bible studies or care groups or, you know, arrive promptly on time to things. and divide your time amongst the whole room because certainly those things are harder to come by. Some of the advantages of marriage, though, is that, like, you have a ministry partner. So someone who's beside you that, you know, like, 1 + 1 = 3, right? So there's more energy, more motivation, you're more mission-minded, and that, you know, you can complement each other's strengths. The strengths and the weaknesses can work together. And so you can actually yeah, tackle more than what you could before. What I have found interesting about kids is that they have a ministry of their own.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, will make people smile in the supermarket and yeah. engage and, you know, say, thank you. And then people's hearts just melt.
Yes.
You know, it's like if you've got a dog and you walk past someone else with a dog, there's like an automatic barrier that's broken down because
yes.
there's a common ground. It's the same with kids.
Yeah.
They just break down. You know, hey, we're strangers, we wouldn't normally talk, to suddenly, hey, we're friends. Look, yeah. you've got a kid, I've got a kid. And that play groups turn into somewhere where you're rubbing shoulders with people that know nothing about God, or maybe are really tired and lonely and stressed out, and you can speak into that space because that's giving you another way to share God's message with people who are hurting. And so I think, yeah, the ministry field can definitely start in the home, but not needing to wait for a spouse and kids for God to use you in a very powerful way.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Hey, we have a quiz question that really stumped a lot of our listeners, Producer Shel.
It did indeed. Yes, it was a difficult one, which why I had to make it a multiple choice for sure.
Yeah.
But according to 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 7, it says, they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and then they put out his eyes and bound him with fetters and of brass and carried him to Babylon. Game of Thrones, terrible stuff there.
Yeah.
Very gruesome.
Ugh.
But the question that was being addressed was?
Zedekiah is the answer there. So he's the one who had his eyes put out.
The question was, which king had his eyes put out? Because certainly Samson came to my mind, but he wasn't a king, he was a judge.
That's right.
That's right. And he wasn't one of the four options.
Sometimes. No, he wasn't.
Well, if we went to E and F and G, his name would have come up.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe.
You could have put it in as one of those options to
trick question.
Yeah.
Tricky. That's what the university lecturers would have done back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for playing along, and certainly some great quizzes here in the Breakfast Show.
And we have one more to go.
Oh, yeah, we do. Let's go.
Okay. What was the name of Manasseh's brother? So a couple of days ago we had who was Manasseh's father. That was a different Manasseh. So we want the other Manasseh's brother because he's the only one who has a brother named.
More than one Manasseh.
So this is,
I'm glad you clarified.
The Genesis Manasseh we want, and we have a correct answer from Lindsay. Well done. 0491-064-669. It wasn't John Smith. No, that wasn't him.
What?
I have no idea. Manasseh's brother.
What Manasseh were you thinking about?
I don't know any Manasses in the Bible. Come
there's
on.
There's two of them.
There's two very,
they?
Yeah, there's,
there's
a Bible reference and I'll look it up.
There's
while we're
one
waiting.
That was born in Egypt.
Genesis 41, verse 52. I'll give you that reference.
And the one that was in a later part of the Bible was the son of Hezekiah.
Oh, that's where I've heard the name.
Yes.
Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Right. Clearly, I we'll need to look that one up together. It is not John Smith, I guess.
All right. Not indeed. Okay, 0491-064-669. Help Erin out, will you? Send her through the answers so she can know.
Do you know, I came across a really cool word this week, and it is called equanimity. Have you ever heard of this word?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't remember it.
It's a big word. It's something I'd make up anyway.
Equanimity.
Yeah.
So the at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, there's a chaplaincy service there, and the head of the chaplaincy service sends out this great weekly newsletter, basically, Pastor Steve Stanoy, and he wrote an article about equanimity. And as I read it, I was like, man, this is gold. So he's talking about in reference to leaders. However, my parent brain thinks that this has a lot to do with mums and dads as well. So check this out. Equanimity, by definition, is calmness and composure under fire.
Oh.
So in difficult situation, it's not indifference. It's not being emotionally distant. But it is the quiet strength of a soul that is not ruled by panic, it's not provoked, doesn't cave under pressure or fear.
I think I have like negative 20% of this.
But, you know, like it's tested when everything's not going well, right? So when the room becomes anxious, the plan changes, there's criticism or the outcome's unknown. This is a leader's calm or a parent's calm when the toddler's lost it. And it becomes the shelter. So their steadiness, and it gives other people that regulation that they can breathe, think clearly, act wisely. So it's really about responding rather than reacting. And I just think, you know, Lord, give me some more composure in those difficult situations. You know, when the wheels are falling off and you can't see the forest from the trees. This is like it's a spiritual discipline. And I think it comes from being connected to the God who never changes, that he's our foundation. He does not change like shifting shadows. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He gives us that blessed assurance that Jesus is enough. We don't need to rely on circumstances that can change. But when we build our house upon the rock, when the waves come, when the rains flow, then certainly we don't have to crack under pressure. Very powerful.
Yeah, so good. So how does this relate to what we're talking about in our encounter with God this morning?
So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and we're reading about God using you in every season of your life. So whether you're in a stage of singleness or you're married or maybe things are going well for your life or maybe they're not, how can we serve God faithfully in all of these stages? We've talked so far about being bought at a price. That, you know, it was bought with the precious blood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless lamb. We've read about there's advantages to both singleness and to marriage. We've read about the time being short. And earlier on in the show, we were talking about the earthquakes and the signs of the end being the birth pains and that Jesus is coming. And if we genuinely believed that Jesus was coming soon, would that change the way I handle my time today, my energy, my resources, my money? We are also focusing in on today that you don't have to arrive at a certain age to be useful to God, right? It's not about making it to maturity and then God can use it, that God can use out of the mouth of babes, that, you know, whether, yeah, the seasons in life are flowing or they're really clunky. And in our testimony that Pastor Mike Parker shared just before, he was sharing about how God can really speak through someone's pain to comfort another. What were some standouts for you of that testimony, Lindsay?
Yeah, certainly the abuse and the trauma that he experienced as a young person and the hatred and anger that was boiling away in his heart from that time, that God was able to redeem that story. That even though he just wanted to get away from it all and be close to his auntie and uncle. And as time went on, he was called into ministry. Even as a pastor for a very long time, he never shared those stories. And then one day it popped out of his mouth and then he's been able to share in a much deeper way and listen to people's stories that they're not willing to share with anyone because he's somebody they can trust that understands that story.
Mm,
yeah.
Amen. It's made him available to minister in a way that other people can't.
Absolutely. It's a very special, delicate area of ministry.
It is indeed. It is.
We actually had a couple of people asking what his name was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I'm sure that if you have a situation where you would like to talk to him about, we could set that up for you. So yeah. If you are in that need, let us know. Yeah.
Amen. Very powerful. Where we want to pick up this conversation here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, the Bible says, I want you to be free from concerns of this life. And then it talks about an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please him. My question for us this morning is, how does focusing on pleasing God change the way we make our decisions? Because certainly in life, there are lots of people that we feel like we should be trying to please, you know, like be it colleagues, family, friends, lecturers, customers, you know, there are many people that we're trying to impress or please. But if we were to make our decisions thinking how to please God, that really gives us a strong framework with which to work from, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And another thing that jumps to mind for this one is something that I often struggle with. And it is, there's a Bible verse over, I think in Matthew, it says that you should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I often think of this in relation to the fact that I'm single and I really want to get married. But God is calling me to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, including marriage and family, will one day be added to me. But the priority to focus on right now is the kingdom of God and growing in relationship with God. Yes. And so this is a area of struggle for me, because I'm like, I just want the relationship so much that sometimes it draws my attention away from actually working for the kingdom of God. And what Paul is saying here is, when you're single and you don't have a spouse that you need to be highly prioritizing, you have all the time in the world to focus on the things of God. Don't waste that so much in trying to find a relationship. And if that's God's will for you, he can bring that into your life without a great deal of expended energy and time.
Absolutely. Such a powerful promise there in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And so when we seek God first, it takes that idolization away from that next stage of life that we're chasing to get into. You know, like whether you've got a partner and you're like, man, I wish they would just propose, or, you know, like you're just waiting, man, I wish we could fall pregnant. You know, there's always another stage. I wish we could buy a house. I wish I could get that job. And so it creates this sense of discontent with the stage that you're in right now. But seeking first his kingdom, I always imagine this as like, you know, two runners are in a race and they're both running towards the same goal line, and that goal line is Jesus. And then at some stage, they turn to the side and see that there's someone running in the same direction at a similar pace to them. That's someone you say hello to.
If they're attractive enough.
But, you know, like, if that's they're ugly, keep running. The conversation, right? If you're running in different directions, then, you know, the draw away from God is going to be very strong within the family unit.
Yeah.
So very, very powerful concept here of seeking to please God. You know, it goes on to talk about a married woman in verse 34 has to think about her earthly responsibilities. And there are many. Whether you're married or unmarried, running a house takes a bit of time and a lot of the day.
Yep.
And how to please her husband as well. In verse 35, can you read that, Lindsay, please?
Yeah, sure. 7:35 says, "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction."
Without distraction. I think this is one of our key takeaways here. How do we lose distraction? You know, each of these seasons can be a blessing or a curse, whichever way we look at them. But even in marriage, you can serve the Lord wholeheartedly without distraction. What distractions make wholehearted devotion difficult today? What distractions exist in our days? And maybe this is a no-brainer question, because we're all distracted.
Oh, yeah.
Super often in the day. Like, social media is an incredible distraction.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised at when my phone brings up the my screen time average for the last week, and I was like, I did not spend that long. You know, like, maybe that was the YouTube music that was playing in the background.
yeah, that's what we hope it is.
but what are some of the distractions, I guess, that draw us away from time with God?
Yeah, look, the amount of times that I have to delete and then re-download Instagram.
Good on you, though.
I delete it if I have something I need to focus on for a few weeks, like a big assignment or something like that.
Yeah. Putting boundaries in place.
But I also do ministry on Instagram, and so it's really hard to be both a producer and not be too much of a consumer in that kind of app, which forces you to see and start scrolling as soon as you log in, even if you're trying to produce.
And so some of these distractions aren't necessarily bad, right? But the good can be the enemy of the best if it's becoming the wrong stage in the hierarchy. So, you know, in the Ten Commandments, God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." So not putting anything above God, the acronym for joy being Jesus, others, you. And so we put God first. Things can come underneath that. But just like that verse you were reading before in Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." This is all about priorities here. Even a spouse can become a problem, an idol, or kids can become distracting. What we need to do is work out how to draw God into that inner circle so that he infiltrates, you know, the Bible talks about in, you know, whether you're walking, sitting, sleeping, you know, working, singing, that's where you bring God into those spaces. Don't feel like it's one day a week where you go to church. Don't think like it's, you know, just I say my 5-minute prayer in the morning and then I'm done. I go into the rest of my life. No, this is where life happens. Jesus is intricately involved in all of your decision making throughout the day. Like, hey, Lord, I really need a park. You know, come and work with me in this. Hey, Father, you know, I'm going to interact with a lot of people today. Help me to conduct my business honestly and fairly, and may I represent you in all my conversations.
A lot of the time I pray, God, help me to be gentle and kind, because that does not come naturally to me.
Yeah. I need the fruit of the Spirit in my life today.
And if I'm thinking ahead of the day, I'm like, okay, this is the plan for the day. This is what I think I'm going to do. God, you're welcome to change things up if you have a better idea. But I'm anticipating probably some of these challenges with these types of people that I don't find the easiest to interact with necessarily. Help me with them in particular.
Yes. Bathing everything in prayer. We really want to encourage you at home today. Carve out some time to spend with the Lord, with your Bible, and praying. Lindsay, have you found that there is a particular book of the Bible that's a good spot for someone to start if maybe they haven't opened a Bible before?
I love the book of Mark because it is short and punchy and gets really to the point and just tells you about who Jesus is, what he did, what happened. No fluff.
Awesome.
I love that as a starting place.
Yes. And certainly those gospels really just flesh out Jesus' life, hey, in his ministry. It's such a powerful spot to start.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
What is your favorite part of today's show today? Shell, do you have something that stood out to you?
Oh, I think our interview again, but in all honesty, it was a really great show today. It's been a real blessing all around. And we had someone just texting in about the songs. So the music has been a blessing too. Mm. So there's been a bunch of things. So Rosalia, I will send you the names of those couple of last songs
awesome.
That we played. She wants them to
Rosalie.
Add to her Spotify.
So. I was doing the same. I was looking them up as they were playing.
Yeah.
So powerful. I really love this concept of putting God to the test. You know, that God is happy for his ways to be put on trial and let him prove his faithfulness to us. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is like, I've given you the formula. Try it out and see if you can reap the rewards of obedience to his ways in your own life.
That's beautiful. Such a really, really good point. Now, we've actually skipped momentarily the quiz answer. I'll get back to my favorite part of the show. After the quiz answer, please.
So the quiz question was, what was the name of Manasseh's brother? And so this was Joseph's son, Manasseh.
Joseph as
King,
in?
Yeah, the very
Abraham,
famous.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph.
The very famous second in command, Joseph.
Ruler of the world. Egypt.
In Egypt. Duplications of names. Hey, obviously this is not Jesus' earthly father, Joseph.
No, this is the first Joseph that we know.
Yeah. In the Old Testament.
Yes, and his two sons were Manasseh and Ephraim. So Manasseh's brother was Ephraim.
And they were born in Egypt.
That's right.
It was not John Smith. I tried.
Good try. So today we were talking a bit about volcanoes and earthquakes. And I know it wasn't particularly a positive story, but it actually kind of links a little bit to the city that we've been praying for today. So we've been talking about the city of Caesarea, and I was just looking up a few fun facts about the place, and it's a very volcanic region.
In fact,
they have a nearly 4,000 kilometer high volcano towering over the city, and like volcanic fields.
4,000 meter?
4,000 meter, not kilometer.
That's 4 kilometers. That's a huge volcano.
That is a huge volcano. It's like halfway through the sky.
Active or inactive?
Dormant. Okay. So could become active again at some point, potentially. So watch out. But currently it is a ski resort.
Okay.
So you can go skiing.
It's functioning with other ways.
They also have other volcanic fields that are like the gateway to Cappadocia, which I would absolutely love to visit one day. Have you heard much about Cappadocia? They have those little structures coming out of the ground. They're like little volcanic like lumps, little hills, like, and the people have carved homes into these little lumpy hill things.
I need to look that up. That sounds very amazing.
Yeah, also this city was once known anciently as Mazaca, but it was later renamed Caesarea under Roman rule, which is super weird, and it's eventually evolved into being called Kayseri from Caesarea.
So every day we are praying our way around the world. We're choosing cities off our list and we're ticking them off our prayer map.
So there's cities that are at least a million strong.
Yes.
Ooh, that's the criteria.
Yeah. Some are 40 million strong.
And we do really encourage you to yourselves pray for countries, towns, governments, because people need our prayer all around the world. There is persecution happening. There are natural disasters happening. Human-made disasters as well.
That definitely.
Like, prayer is needed in all of these cities. And our prayers today really are with the people of Caesarea in Turkey.
Yeah. Another fun fact that I think you, Erin, will particularly love is that in 1206, this was one of the world's earliest medical schools and hospitals. They were pioneering in music and water therapy for mental illness at that time. But we have had an excellent session here today for the last 3 hours. It's been so wonderful to have you guys listening along, interacting. We'd love to hear from you what your favorite part of today's show was as well. So thank you for listening. Thanks. Thank you, Erin, for coming in today. It has been such a pleasure and a blessing to have your bubbly, warm attitude in here just lighting up the studio.
We have loved having your company at home. What we want to do today is encourage you to talk faith, live faith. Remember to open your Bible and pray every day and you will grow, grow, grow.
Be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.